Welcome to the realm of magic and mystery, classic horror and sci-fi. You are now entering the House of the Unusual podcast with your hosts, Eddie and Joe.
Welcome, everybody, to the House of the Unusual program. This week, we have a very interesting and very good program. It's me and Chuck this week, and we got some very exciting news for you guys. Chuck, you were saying that it's snowing around your area, or it's going to snow this weekend?
Well, we were getting some flurries, and it's cold, man. I mean, the temperature did drop, but you still can't complain, you know what I mean, for February. I got shows all weekend, so I hope we don't get too much snow if it does snow. I don't know. I have to keep tabs on this, and one of the shows is about an hour and a half drive from where I live. It's in Indiana, PA, I believe. So it's a straight shot down Route 22 out here, but it's about maybe an hour and 15 minutes away. So, you know, that's the thing that complicates, traveling and so forth because of the weather. But hey, so far so good, Eddie. I mean, we can't complain for February, right?
We cannot complain. You know, Chuck, the other day I did a podcast. Of course, not last week. It was me and you. The week prior to that was Lou Weiss and myself. Lou Weiss is the guy who started the Fun Factory back in the 70s.
That was an awesome podcast.
Great. Yeah, it actually went into an hour long from the half hour podcast. And I'm going to be getting together with Lou Weiss in about 2 weeks or so. And what I wanted to say is he asked me to find some of the original orders that came from the comic books. And I did. I grabbed a handful. And it's funny because I'm actually looking at one of those orders right now. And what this person did, the person who ordered, let me see if I can even, I'm just going to say the first name. I'm not going to say too much information because I'm not sure how old these people are today, but over there. The last name is Santana, and this person lived in Brooklyn, New York. Interesting.
Wow. Nice.
And what they did is they attached the entire Fun Factory ad, which I'm looking at right now. And, you know, of course, I have some very exciting things in the thing. I had the miniature mini spy camera, the thing box bank, which is, you know, the Addams Family thing bank, the switchblade comb.
Yeah, sure.
This is some of the stuff I had in the ad, and I had, of course, Throw Your Voice. And what he did is, you could tell he's a very young kid, you know, he's writing down what he wants, and he wrote me in a piece of paper that he wants the mini spy camera, the pocket spy scope, and I don't know, it's pretty cool to see these orders because the date of this order is October of 1992.
Wow, look at that. That was the year that we got married, Sherry and I. So that would be going on 32 years.
And that's correct.
Yeah, and you know what? He may be a 6, 7, 8-year-old kid, so he may be about 40 now, Mr. Santana. Wow.
Yeah, well, you're right. And then I have another one here for a Michael. And this one is from Westworth, Illinois. Wow. So, you know, I have a couple of ads here. I have about, I don't know, 12, 15 ads. And I grabbed them because I wanted to show, you know, Lou next week or the week after when I meet up with him. But, you know, I got an interesting call the other day, Chuck, and it's from an individual who spent, we'll call him Mr. Halloween. How's that? Because that's actually what he uses in his email.
All right.
But he spent like a good 40-something years doing, you know, Imagineering. I'm not sure if he worked for Disney, but he did animation. And he's very good. And he's been really kind to me. And he's a little bit over 65. And he was telling me, you know, we're talking on the phone actually today again for about an hour, 2 hours on the phone. And we were talking about all the novelties and stuff. And he lives up in Canada. So he was telling me he's having a problem with YouTube. Because YouTube, when he tries to watch, because I think he told me he watched about 40 videos. And he's been trying to watch the very early videos. And I mean, unfortunately, I haven't posted a video in about 5 months. This is me, myself. All the videos have been through my buddy Chuck here. And I haven't posted any toy reviews or any stuff. And the reason for that is I've been so overwhelmed with the book publishing, with you know, the storage units and so many things I've had to do that I haven't really been able to say, hey, I'm going to be doing this each and every week, and but I'm hoping to get to that point in the next couple of days. Like when, for example, when Lou asked me to find some of the orders, I was able to find this 12 or 15, but I have about, Chuck, I think three or four or five, I don't know, shoe boxes with every order we ever got from Fun Factory.
Wow, now that's a good idea. That's some smart thinking, Eddie. That would be so cool to look at those. That would be great. And how did most of the money come in there? Was it change or like dollar bills, or how did these kids pay?
Believe it or not, a lot of them actually send loose change, but mostly with money orders or checks. Okay. Because, you know, you're talking about a time in the 90s when people just usually wrote checks or money order, you know?
Right.
And so, you know, it was me. I had the task of getting all the orders together. Lou, in his office, he had one of his secretary open the envelopes and attach them, you know, with a staple. And then she would write me a label. Not a label, print me a label. All I did was to do that and go to the post office. Then I had a machine down in the little office Lou gave me where I would attach the postage. And so this was one, I think, I forgot who made those machines. There's a famous company that's still in business today, and they were in charge of doing all the sorting machines and for the post office and stuff. So, you know, I would do all the orders from the basement. No, not the basement, the office where I was with him. And it was pretty good. I mean, I could tell you there was a time I took like 117 orders to the post office, and I had to go in and out of the post office like 10 times because they didn't all fit in my car, and it was crazy, the different size boxes. And anyway, so I got it there, and it was fun. So the conversation I had with my friend is that he was telling me about back in the, you know, when, in, of course, before the 70s, the early days of mail order were mostly the 60s, and, you know, like mid 60s, I think. Prior to the mid 60s, it was rarely that you really see too many orders or too many mail orders in any comic book, because there was only a few companies back there. One of them, I believe, was called ATH, like the letters A, T, and H. The other one was, I believe, Regency Mail Order. These were the early ones. And so, of course, you had Johnson Smith and Honor House. But one of the things he was telling me was concerning the rocket ship. Now, the rocket ship was the very first item that Honor House sold. And then it followed the Sherman tank and then the famous Polaris nuclear sub.
Right.
And then in 19, I would say 89, 91, they actually sold the 7-foot shuttle. But the company had changed hands. It was no longer Honor House. It was called at that time Guaranteed Distributors. And what happened, this is after like 40 years being Honor House. What happened was is that apparently, you know, I had four of the space shuttles. And then in 1995, I had a fire and I actually lost three of them that were sealed in the original box. And the funny thing is the one that I built, I threw in the garbage. If I would have known I was going to have a fire, I wouldn't have thrown it out.
Yeah.
But so far, all I have left from that is the instructions. And actually, me and Dave Haverstad had tried to see if the company still had any left. And apparently, they were sent to Europe somewhere. And apparently, they disappeared. They probably have them somewhere. I don't think they made too many of them, because you never saw them advertised in any comic book or anything. I think they just made them because they had thought about, you know, selling them. And apparently, they never did. That's the story of the space shuttle. I do have the original flyer that they were going to produce, and I do have the instructions that came with it, because, you know, I knew the company. Like, you know, I was able to, but like I said, in the fire, I lost most of them. So, Chuck, he was talking about one of the greatest items he loves was the invisible helmet. Do you remember that one?
Oh, I do remember a little bit. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the invisible helmet promised you. I think the invisible helmet, which was way before the 70s, so a lot of the kids or adults that listen to us might not remember it, because, like I said, my friend is a little bit over 65, so he's about, you know, 6, 7, 8 years older than me, and I'm 60, and you're 60, Chuck. So what I'm saying is a lot of the people that are our age might not have been around.
Right.
They might have been too young when they were selling the helmet. the helmet was either a takeoff of Mr. Corbett. You know, the Corbett, back in the 60s, there was a TV show. What was it called? Captain Corbett or Mr. Yeah. Corbett?
Yeah, something like that. I do remember that a little bit. Yep.
Yeah, there was, it was kind of, and then you also had Flash Gordon. It was taken from either or, where they did this helmet, which was really a Flash type of paper. In the front, it had a mirror, a one-way mirror kind of thing. So in all together, the whole thing, think of it as a Christmas wrap. You know those Christmas wraps that are made of aluminum?
Right.
Not aluminum, but they're like very flexible and they don't cut easy. Well, think of a paper like that, that you will wrap around into a cylinder, you put over your head, and the way it made you invisible was no one could see your face, but you could see everybody around, which was so ridiculous because
yeah.
It was just well written, and kids obviously fell for it. There was nothing in the helmet that was invisible. Obviously, all you have is like if you look behind a one-way mirror, you could. The best way for people to understand is if you ever seen those sunglasses that they reflect, they're like a mirror. You look at them and they're very, you know, they have a mirror in each of the lenses. And then when you put them on, obviously, you see the world around you. That's exactly how that thing worked. They had it was like a very thin cellophane type of mirror type. And it was, you know, you made it into a cylinder, put it around your head. It had printing of a helmet, like a space helmet, and that's what was called the invisible helmet. And he was telling me that to him, that was the greatest item ever. And I told him, I was talking to him, I was telling him that mine was the 7-foot Monster Ghost, which I ordered back in, you know, in the early 70s. And we, you know, we spent about 2 hours talking, actually. It was a great conversation. I was telling him about all the different videos I had done in the past reviewing a lot of my collection. And Chuck, one of the things that I found that he said that was interesting is he said that when he tries to go past 2 years, YouTube automatically kind of keeps forcing him to watch shorts. Now, a lot of people don't realize that YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, they're trying to catch up with TikTok.
Right.
So what they're doing is they're promoting their shorts. And a lot of times when you go to a YouTube channel, you're going to notice that the shorts get promoted over the regular videos because they're trying to get it so that people can, which is a good thing in a sense, because you know, anybody who has a YouTube channel can create shorts and you know, get pretty, get watch pretty quickly, and their channel can grow based on people viewing the shorts. Now, Chuck, how is your video with the pigeon that decided to take a poop? How's that doing?
Yeah, the last time I checked, it was early this morning, I believe. It was about 22,700, somewhere around there. So it's kind of leveling off a little bit. You know, possibly it'll get to 25, but I don't foresee it going past there, to be honest with you, because it's been pretty stagnant. But I'm in shock. I can't believe it went that high. Very surprised.
Well, that's the funny thing about it. Then most likely it will not go viral.
No, but I tell you what, I was surprised. I was really shocked because I've never had a video in that short of a time, you know, go close to 20,000. Wow.
Yeah, you actually did it. It was a 5-day period, was it, or 4 days before it hit 20,000?
Yeah, right when we put it on, it jumped up to like, you know, 8,000, then 10, 12. I mean, we couldn't believe it. I told Sherry, this is getting crazy, you know, and it's amazing when something unplanned happens like that. I guess it captures the attention and people spread it like wildfire.
Well, that's exactly. Well, here's what, you know, Chuck, I've been talking to you and I was contemplating doing in the next couple of weeks. Now, like I've said, it's been where I'll say I'm doing this and people don't realize it's just me doing all this stuff. And I have to find the time and everything to put together books. Sherry and Chuck are supplying me with all the information. I put the books together. They go up on Amazon. And my goal was to put at least 10 books before the end of, you know, maybe May. And so far, we're going to have another two going up in the next week and a half or so. And one is very, is going to be great for the women. It's called The Entertainer's Wife. And it's been written by Sherry. And what she has done, she has taken all her 30 years of Chuck, that she's traveled with Chuck, and put it on and paper. And I've been putting the book together for her, and I think that should be over or finished probably in the next 3 or 4 days. And then we have one called Ancient Secrets, or Secret of the Ancients, how the pyramids were built. I have an engineer who thinks he has an idea how they might have been built, and it's, you know, it's just going to be a long, the book is going to take into account all the possible techniques that archaeologists and stuff have put together over the years, and it's going to add this new idea to it. So it's going to be a fun read. It's not going to be a super thick book. It's probably going to be between 80 and 100 pages, and I think, you know, it's going to be a fun read. So those two are going to go up. Right now, the book that's really trending and it looks really good, and it's a book that I recommend for anybody who's listening to get, is going to be Shadows of Time, the Chrono Shadow Initiative. And again, we've said it and we'll repeat it again. If you like UFOs, you like the Philadelphia Experiment, all those conspiracy theories, this is the book to get. It has a very interesting conclusion for this. And the other thing is, Chuck, your book, How to Haunt with Magic, has been the second leader, or actually the number one so far in sales. And that was our second book. The first book, Skull Magic Unleashed, has a couple of DIY projects, but How to Haunt with Magic took it to the next level.
Yes, absolutely. You know what? That is a cool book. And I just got my hardcover, thanks to you. And I'll tell you what, it's an absolutely beautiful book. I mean, the pictures inside are very, very nice. We went into detail, as you know, as best as we could, and we explained, you know, how to build these effects. Some are electronic, some are not, you know, and but we did go into detail. And there's an added addition in there, I believe, from Richard Hilliard, who was a great graphic artist. Some really cool artwork. And there's a reprint of the Great Leon's Haunted House. Now, for the people listening who do not know what this is, this was a little miniature tabletop haunted house way back in the early 60s. And it was really cool. It was basically a modified dollhouse, and the front doors would open. They would creak open, really cool. One of the upper windows would open, and there would be like a ghost, like an apparition that would be peering out the window. The window would close, the door would close, then you'd snap off the front, and now the interior of the house is visible. And whatever items you put inside there would move and float and so forth, like a little bottle that would have a handkerchief inside. When you placed it inside, you stood away from it, and you snapped your fingers or whatever. The hanky would actually pop out of the bottle and dance around. Spirit slates were probably the best effect in there. There's these two little blank slates that you show they're blank, and you lay them down on the table, and you put a piece of chalk next to it. And you stand back, and one of the slates actually floats. It actually rises. And so what you ask is, are you here? And then when it floats, it turns around, and it's written on the slate. It says yes. Very, very eerie effect. It's fantastic. If anybody would like to see a recreation of this, I did build one of these. Eddie has it on YouTube under House of the Unusual. And I had actually built Leon haunted house from the directions about 25 years ago, and it is on there. Check it out. It's really, really cool. I even put a few of my own twists to it, but it's an excellent effect, isn't it, Eddie?
It not only is it an excellent effect, but I was speaking with Morris Costumes. Now, a lot of people are not going to know what company this is, but this is one of the wholesalers for magic and novelties and most Halloween costumes during the, you know, nationwide and worldwide.
Oh, yeah.
The original owner of the company was Morris, Philip Morris, a famous magician that did spook shows in the 50s and 60s. And they decided that they might carry our book, which means our book is not only going to be available through Amazon, it's going to be available through a lot of magic sites online. And right now, the book itself is available through Barnes & Noble. It's available through Books A Million, Thrift Bookshop. It's available, I think, it's available worldwide. But I'm just saying some of the stores that have it. But pretty soon, if Morris Costumes takes up on it and they do get the book and put it in their catalog, they're going to be wholesaling the book to magic shop around the country. So I'm going to tell you guys, if you have a chance, get the book now, because pretty soon, you know, eventually it's going to be stop being printed. And I'm going to tell you straight out, it's a book you're going to want to have. It's filled with phenomenal stuff. Chuck did awesome thing with the book and putting together all those DIY or do-it-yourself projects in there. He mentioned in the back of the book, as a freebie, meaning if you buy the book, the Gray Leon Miniature Haunted House, which I've been selling for $24.95, the actual plans, for probably 30-some-odd years, is there for free. I've reproduced the booklet for free in Chapter 6 of the book. I had an individual, which was kind of interesting, because he bought the book. Instead of giving it 5 stars, he gives it 4 stars, and he says, great information, he wrote, but it's just that the writing was just too small. The book has 14 points for each letter. It's got huge writing. I would say that if you read the book from pages 1 through 150, not 150, like 120, the print is huge. It's like one of those large print Bibles.
Yeah, I would. You know what? I actually know the guy that did that, and you know, that's just uncalled for. He's just totally out of line saying that. I mean, there is nothing wrong with that print whatsoever.
What he's talking about, Chuck, is that I think he just looked at the back of the book.
Yeah.
And he's looking at the reprint of the Gray Leon Miniature Haunted House. That's a reprint.
Oh, that's okay.
The size of the print. It's
right.
Smaller. It doesn't mean that the book has, but I mean, he gives it whatever, 4 stars. I thought it was interesting because he goes, the book is great, the information is great, but the print is too small. I felt like saying, you want me to send you like a letter, the world charts for eye doctors, the big giant letter on top. But I'm sure that the person who put that has got to be a little bit up in age.
Oh, absolutely. He's in his 70s. Like I said, I know who he is. You know what I mean? And, come on. If you have a problem seeing stuff, use a magnifying glass, or they sell the Fresnel lenses. They sell the whole page that's a magnifying
glass. Because the problem we're having with the book, Chuck, a lot of people say, wow, the print is large. Yeah. So it's larger than anticipated. It's supposed to be smaller. If you buy a magazine, the average print size is 12 points.
Right.
This is 14 points throughout the entire book. In fact, all the books that I print them at 14 points because I figure that a lot of people that do follow us are probably in their mid-50s or early 60s. The point is that you make it so that everybody can read, and even the younger crowd is going to find it an easy read. It's not like they got to squint their eyes. But when you reprint a thing like the Great Miniature Haunted House, which in normally has already small print, it's just a freebie. So you're buying the book, you're getting that part for free.
Exactly.
It doesn't mean that the book is printed with that print throughout. There's
right.
only 28 pages of the book that have the smaller print, which is equivalent to a regular size magazine that you buy in the store.
Right.
So that's how big that print is. The print throughout the book is 14 points. But apparently, you're not going to satisfy everybody. I'm kind of surprised that it is a person that you probably know that instead of giving us 5 stars, he's going to give us 4 stars for that, you know? But I guess that's a good thing because everybody else has given us 5 stars. We've sold over 150 copies of the book already. And it's only been out, 2 months or so. So, for anybody listening, get the copy. The book is phenomenal. Again, if you like Skull Magic Unleashed, the only difference between the two books is the first book mostly displays the different skull props that Chuck has used throughout the years and has about 5 or 6, maybe 8 do-it-yourself projects. The end of the book has some great things from Blackbeard and some great storylines. But How to Haunt with Magic, it's mostly DIY throughout the book, and it's just phenomenal. I think that the book is, I love the book. I always wanted a book like that when I was a kid, and I probably bought every single book out there on how to build a haunted house because I just like the fact of having the book. So I would say to myself, if I cannot build one, at least I have the book that I can build it whenever I want later on.
Yeah, and one of the DIY projects that I actually put in there too was my own version of a tabletop haunted house that's completely electronic. You know what I mean? there's quite a few different things that happen in there. There's a little skull. His mouth opens and closes when you want to. There's a dresser with almost like a mirror in it, and so once you peer into it, it actually lights up, and there's a form of an apparition staring back at you. I mean, some really cool things in there. It is a little bit challenging to build. You know, I mean, you should have a little bit of electronics, experience behind you. But you know what? Or if you have a friend that can help you out. But I explain what you need, you know, and it's, you know what?
Well,
it's, you know, push through it. It's not that difficult to do.
Well, Chuck, you know what I was thinking, but I think we should let our people hear what we're about to say. Me and Chuck have decided, we've talked about it, and there is a very famous, in fact, there's quite a few famous mail order items that people wanted to get when they were young and they just never did. Well, we're going to introduce something pretty soon that's going to bring it also to the crowds out there that are much younger. It's going to attract the younger crowds and the older, of course, that are going to remember what the item is. But pretty soon, the how-to instructions are going to be done. I'm not going to say what the item is. Stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned.
You're going to love it, because a lot of you people that always dreamed of having this but said, man, it's darn too big, will be able to at least get a book on how to build it directly from the actual item. Because, of course, I have the item, so everything will be done from the item, so you'll be able to build an exact reproduction of it. Okay, having said that, I could tell you guys that that's going to be very exciting, and it's coming soon. Now, the other things and other events that we want to come, and I know that he hears us all the time, and I'm going to tell Mr. David, I shouldn't even say the name, I don't even know, but the guy, the producer of the famous Stupid Comics, STOOPID, with the latest issue. We're waiting for your latest issue, but I want you to know that we haven't heard from you, and I know you're out there, and I know you listen, and I want to tell you there's a couple surprises coming for you, my friend. You've been with us, you've been a good customer of ours, and at the same time, you've been fabulous to us. You've ran our ads on your publications. Have you never failed to do so? You've been great, and we want to thank you for that. But having said that, Chuck, we have 2 minutes left. I wanted to tell you, is there anything you would like to say? And also, I wanted to tell you that I am starting the project I just spoke about. As of yesterday night, I started working on the book cover for that project. So that's going to be phenomenal. And when we put it out, it's going to be a killer. So anybody listening, I hope you tune in and you will know the launch date, and you'll actually know the day it launches, what it is. So this is a mysterious product that a lot of people have been wanting and have been all their lives. So Chuck, any words you want to say before we finish?
Oh, just thanks for tuning in, folks. I mean, we certainly appreciate it. Keep coming back and we'll keep talking, and all of our subjects are very informative. So we always, you know, come up with some great ideas.
Well, everybody, God bless. Have a beautiful night. And thank you for listening this week.
All right.
Till next. Bye.
God bless. Bye.